Welcome to Life on Less Meds, a podcast that reveals the truth about drug side effects and the best strategies to manage them. And now your host, Dr. Yosef Wittering.
So hi, I'm Dr. Yosef. It's my pleasure to be joined here today by Kath. Kath has a recovery story that she's willing to share with us. She was on benzodiazepines for a long period of time. And I know how important it can be to hear from people who have gone through side effects on these medications and come out the other end and done well. And so I'm so happy to share Kath's story. So Kath, welcome. Thank you for coming on and agreeing to speak with us.
Thank you, Dr. Joseph. Thank you for all of that you do for everybody. I really appreciate it. In fact, I posted your new video on grief and got feedback from all the benzo people this morning. So if you haven't seen it, watch it. It's really good.
Thank you. Yeah. So Kath, let's just jump right into it. So where does your story begin? Where does your story start with psychiatric meds?
I started in high school in a drug culture. We experimented with some. I got away from it really quickly. And then I got married. And when I got, I guess my first time I had benzos was after root canal in high school. And then I got married and got divorced. And when I went to counseling, they wanted to put me on Valium. And so I got on, off. When I was 30, my girlfriend got sick and I eventually died from Tylenol and codeine overdose, killed her liver. And I got put on Xanax. I got off Xanax and I could feel it's when I first noticed that I got withdrawal. I stopped using it. And at the end of the day, I was angry. So I said, never again. And so over life, during life challenges, I got put on benzos and antidepressants. In 92, I was put on trazodone for depression. As time changed, they said, oh, you have sleep disorders. I said, no. And he goes, you're on trazodone. My diagnosis has started changing with the change in the use of medications I was given. I was given thyroid for hyperthyroidism, and then hypothyroidism. And then they put me in hyperthyroid to help my depression, not realizing that it was caused by the withdrawal, protracted withdrawal, often on use of benzos, causing it or leading to it. So I just started hurting, and then I got... I couldn't get up out of bed. I was doing it for about 10 years and I would get up in the morning and I would go to work. I'd work for 4 hours, come home, take a nap, stay up for 4 hours and go back to bed. And I repeated that until I couldn't get up anymore. I got sick. I got the flu and I decided I can't take these drugs. So I halved all my medication. And that's when hell broke loose.
What year was that for you?
I was 68 and I was 60. So it was 2015, 9 years ago. And I didn't know what was wrong. I couldn't get up out of bed. I couldn't call my clients and say why I couldn't go to work. I had not a clue as to what was wrong with me. My brother suggested the Ashton Manual. And, you know, I kind of looked at it. At that time, I didn't even know it was benzos. I knew it was Valium. And so he told me to go on YouTube. YouTube was very new. And I found two or three videos on benzo suffering. And it was people laying in bed that looked perfectly healthy, complaining about not feeling well. And so then I went, so I couldn't do anything. All I could do, literally, was lay in bed for a month. It hurt to take a shower. The change in temperatures was torture. Senses of smell, light sensitivity. I was so sensitive to light that the red light on the TV in the bedroom, my husband had to tape over because even with my eyes closed, it burned. You know, you think you're going crazy. I got tested for digestive issues, IBS, fibromyalgia, migraines, toothaches, allergies, just anything you could imagine.
Aortic aneurysm.
I had the cornea scraped off the my eye. I had cataract surgery. Wow. Just increasingly getting worse and worse. Friends started disappearing. And all I could do was just be in bed. It got worse when I got on antidepressants in 92 for my divorce and the loss of my daughter, her choices of not to move back in with me, and the way her story started changing about me. And so when I turned 60, our cat died. I got the flu and I got shingles. And so for a whole year, I just thought it was a progression of the flu. I slowly got up out of bed. I was at 40 milligrams of Valium daily as needed. And somebody recently said that as needed puts you in kindling right away. You know, it does. And I didn't realize that because you take 10 one day, you take 30 the next, and then the next day you don't take any. So again, when I was taking as needed, I was constantly in that state. And when I decided I couldn't just stop that when I got sick, so I went down to 15 milligrams. And that's when I couldn't get up out of bed. I was also on 40 milligrams of citalopram at that time. And I halved that. And I feel that my major issues were caused by benzos and not SSRIs, because after that month, I stabilized on the antidepressant. I watched the side effects being on it for so long. I always read the little pamphlet that says how, you know, the side effects. And I watched the side effects that I was feeling on benzos being applied to SSRIs. But I knew the difference. And I knew that my main cause was benzos. So as I laid in bed, I tapered to 2 to 6 milligrams a day in a year. And I couldn't get off the last 2 milligrams. It was just hell. My brother was coaching me, but he had, addiction background. And he made a deal with me and was upset that I couldn't end and stopped talking to me. So my support disappeared. And it progressively got worse until when I couldn't get up out of bed, the only thing I could do was to go to my dog club. And when I couldn't get out of bed and tell them what was wrong with me, they kicked me out of the club. When I finally went to go, to the club, that's when I found out I was kicked out. Nobody bothered to tell me. My family abandoned me. In 2018, we had to move. Oh, trying to move in extreme, protracted withdrawal. I got extremely exhausted. And I couldn't do anything. People thought I was lazy. I lost 2 friends. I lost my oldest friends in the move. We moved 20 minutes away. And my friends of 40, 50, and 30 years just left without a word. And I'm too sick to really notice. I'm just trying to make it through the day. Extreme headaches. I had earplugs in. I had teeth aches. I was going to pain management. The pain management didn't do anything. The psychiatrist just kept on upping my doses of Valium. I mean, I was not getting any relief until I talked to the doctor in a fetal position with my husband. I said, "What's wrong with me?" And he goes, too many meds, and walked out. Never helped me. And so I decided that I had to find my own information. So when I could, I was either in bed or on the computer. And after moving here,
I just want to ask something. What prompted, you know, it sounds like all of this got kicked up when you came down on the Valium. What prompted you to come down on the Valium, like right when everything got worse? What was that about?
Well, I thought it was the cause. You know, if it's it's a common thing. If my Valium is causing this and making it worse, let's get rid of it.
Okay.
I went to the pharmacist and I said, I want to taper off my drugs, my meds. I'm just on too many. And he says, they put me on metoprolol for the heart rate. Mm-hmm. My heart rate was so increasing so much. My blood pressure changed. So I got on these medications. He says, you have to stay on that because you've been on it too long. It will affect you wrong. So, taper the antidepressants. Stay on the Valium till last because, it will. Yeah, because the muscle relaxers and the sleep and everything, mm-hmm. it would be more helpful to be that one last. And there was so little help. So what I did is I laddered. I'd go like 4 months and taper citalopram a little bit, and then 4 months and taper Valium, 4 months and taper off the trazodone. And then I'd repeat the cycle, excuse me, until the last day, the day after I took my last citalopram, I had no depression. It was amazing. I'd been depressed most of my life, and I don't think I've been depressed since getting off of that drug. And then, again, Dee Foster wrote, I went to the peer support certification, and the opening letter, I wanted to read it. I don't know if I can, his introduction, and it says,
sure.
Imagine that you had a car accident. A bad one, a really bad one. Your Prius took on a Mack truck hauling steel piping and lost. Blood is everywhere. Lacerations cover your arms, legs, and face. Bruises blend with burns, leaving little unalterated skin. Your muscles are twisted and torn. Severe concussion has left you in a fog, barely aware of your surroundings. Paramedics struggle to keep you conscious, but your mind slips into delirium. You're terrified. You don't know what happened, why this happened, or even who you are. You will survive, but your recovery will be grueling and painful at times and may take months, even years. You may lose your home, your job, even your family. Now imagine that the same pain, fear, and suffering, but no one can see it. There was no car accident. No paramedics are rushing to your aid. It all happened inside of you. When you seek help for your injuries, you're met with annoyance, disdain, and disbelief. You attempt to relate your suffering to your family, friends, and colleagues, but nobody understands. How could they? Why would anybody believe that this diverse collection of symptoms was caused by one tiny little pill? Welcome to the world of benzo withdrawal. And the way I healed is I was an ambulance medic. And car accidents and head injuries. I watched people with head injuries suffer and struggle and try their hardest. So I modeled my healing after I have an injury. It's getting better. They get better. We're not the same. And if they can do it, I can do it. And I realized that I had been in a slow car accident for 30 years, just slowly getting worse and worse and worse in slow motion. And when I tried to explain it to my son, he had a hard time believing it. I said, would it have helped if I had scars? And he said, yes, it would have helped if I had scars. The lack of being believed, I was labeled as mentally ill, emotionally unstable, potentially violent, abusive mother, and abandoned by my family. When I started healing, thank you. I went to my mother. Fast forward. I went through this. I stabilized on 2 to 6 milligrams a day. It took me 5 years and I stabilized and I figured I could stay on that for the rest of my life. But, that's when I found out that my psychiatrists, because my I was on hormone replacement therapy.
Just to clarify, Kath. So for 5 years, you were in this state where that red light from the TV would burn into your eyes. You were in bed. Everyone had left you and you were just in pain. You lived in a state like that for 5 years.
It was, it rotates. It rotates. If you have, this is when I learned good stress or bad stress. You know, they're both stress. You know, if I went out for one day, it would take me a week to get better. If I went out to my counseling, and then it got so I could go out twice a day. It gradually improved during that 5-year period. Just trying to get through the day. 5 years, yes.
What were your worst symptoms during that 5 years?
Mental confusion. And again, it's like at one point, if I focused on my head, well, my hair was falling out. If I focused on my hands ached. I couldn't move them. My muscles hurt.
Hypersensitivity
to everything. Sight, sense, smells. And then I started having what was later like akathisia, but it was in parts of my body. It was like in my thigh or in my arm. At one point in that time, I slept for 20 hours a day for a year. A lot of people have sleep issues. The trazodone helped sleep. But then every medication would have a reverse effect. If I took my Valium, sometimes it would speed me up like I'd clean the house, and other times it would knock me out. I couldn't count on any medication from the same with the trazodone. It would wake me up or it would put me to sleep. There was no in between. And it was just like, so each day was just a challenge to live in the moment and make it through the day.
And some people don't make it through this, you know, being in chronic pain for so long. And I know when you're in it, it feels like it's never going to end. How did you find the strength to choose to keep on going? I mean, 5 years is a really long time. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, since I was on this and in protracted withdrawal for a long period of time, at one point I did want to kill myself. I wanted to die. And it's like I realized that I didn't want to die. I just didn't like the way I was living. So I tried changing it. So with that in my background, I could do it. And then I found in November of 21, there was a woman who succeeded in suicide. Her name was Kathleen. And I read her paper of how she was put through the psychiatric system, the mental health system, medicated. Nobody believed her until she just couldn't take it anymore. And that's how I opened the door to talk to my son, as I gave her that. And I said, this could have been me any time during the last 5 years, but I didn't. And there's so much into healing. It's not just about healing benzos. It's like, why do you feel you needed to take them to begin with? Why do we have anxiety? And I've watched the mental health system medicate grief issues, normal things that you need to do. People hide from it. And I realized that I had to face it. So you have to face your, like I went to CODA, Codependence Anonymous. I used Language of Letting Go. I used that time in my mind to heal what I thought were my faults. And I learned an awful lot. I have a whole list of books that help me, inspirational books. And I challenged myself. What is wrong? When I couldn't sleep, I would do math problems. When I couldn't sleep, I would lay in bed and I would visit every house I've ever been in. And when I did that, I learned how much my mother really loved me when I thought she didn't. You know, I hadn't visited my memories. I lived in my mind, reliving my life as I healed. And it gradually got better. Mm-hmm. And so, like I said, I would stay at 2 to 6 milligrams for the rest of my life because it was tolerable. And then I didn't find a psychiatrist. I had to find a new person to prescribe. And I went to a new psychiatrist, and then he quit. It was really hard because during the system, I got passed from one psychiatrist to another, and they all have different mm-hmm. understandings. And so I went to another psychiatrist, and he goes, what's your goal? I said, I want to get off all my meds. And he goes, well, then what do you need me for? Okay. So I was desperate because I didn't want to, by this time I knew that I had to taper off the rest. So I called my nurse practitioner. I said, I don't know if you can do this, but can you help me? Will you be part of my health team and help me taper off? And she goes, how much do you need? How long? And I made an agreement with her that it would take 5 months to get off the last 2 to 6 milligrams, and she would prescribe. She wanted to know nothing about the information about the Ashton manual or anything that I was going through. She just prescribed. I cut my pills. I didn't know anything about micro taper or daily taper or anything. I just cut them until I got to, what was it? A quarter of a 2 milligram pill. Mm-hmm. And when I stopped, I was shocked at how worse I felt. I was dizzy for 8 months. I could barely get up out of bed, headaches, pain. It was different, but it gradually got better and gradually challenged. And after a year, I decided I was 90% healed. But then the next 2 years, it improved so much more. When you're like that, you never think that you could ever be possibly be better than you were before you started. But I'm not depressed. I don't have fibromyalgia. I don't have migraines. I don't have rare disease. I am okay. And I always was. It was the hypersensitivity. And I have a theory on hypersensitivity that I don't see in any of this stuff. It's like that hypersensitivity makes everything that happens to you feel worse than it is. I have somebody that I help, and he's like, he's got a little sore on his hand. It's like a splinter, and it's like he wants to cut off his hand, and he thinks he's dying, or the heart palpitations, you think you're having a heart attack because it feels extra bad because of that hypersensitivity. And if we realize that, then we can focus on something else. I had to change my focus. Neuroplasticity, when I learned about that, that really helped, because when you ruminate all the time, I'm in bed all the time. I'm reliving everything, trying to make sense of it. And I built these negative, depressive highways in my head. So I would have the stop sign in my head, say stop, and I would replace it with something else. And I could actually visualize a new highway in my mind that was healing and away from the rumination. And it's an amazing feeling when you can watch yourself heal, watch yourself grow, watch yourself peel off these layers of onions, because that's what it is. People go, it's always the same thing. You never change. But when you're in this, it's like a big onion and you're just peeling off the layers and layers and layers. And when you get to the end, it's amazing. And I just tell people, stay in there. It's only for now. When I coach people, I would like to coach more people. What to say? Add to the end of your sentence. It hurts so much for now. And so you change your thoughts. And when you change your focus, because whatever you focus on grows. If you focus on a pimple on your nose, that's the biggest thing in your life. If you focus on, I focused on gratitude. What could I be grateful for? You know, my life sucks. I can't move. I don't have any family, friends. I have my husband. That's it. And not to demean him, but I was grateful that I could roll over in bed by myself, because I had taken care of a woman with MS that couldn't roll over. And she was in the same position the next day when I picked her up or came back to take care of her. And I could roll over in bed. And so I took my gratitude negatively. If I have two hands, I'm grateful for my two hands. If I lose one, I'm grateful for my one hand. If I lose three fingers, I'm grateful for the other two. And I just focused on that. And I noticed that the more I did that and changed my thoughts, the more I saw good things. So it's a progression. It's a healing. Because it was my whole life with benzo protracted withdrawal that I didn't have any control over. I was told that people thought I did it. I don't know what it was, on purpose for attention.
So, Kath, are you trying to say that you feel like right from the beginning when you started going off and on Valium, that was having, you know, all these side effects on your mood and your behavior, and was kind of changing you as a person, like for all those decades?
Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
And to unravel it, to figure out what is wrong. Why won't people talk to me? What did I look like? Because I would remember that I would say something or ask somebody a question, and 6 months later, I'd talk to him again and ask him the same question. My reputation, I guess, or the way people saw me was so bad that I was at a meeting, and I said, we get to share what's going on in our lives. And I said, wow, I got to see my son, because it's been off and on relationship. And in the middle of my sentence, the lady didn't even know what I was going to say. She goes, I come here for fun, not for negative things. I was shocked because I was going to say something good, but it was expected that I was going to say something not good, because it's like when you run in mud and you're going down, and it's like, help me, I don't know what's wrong. And so whatever breath you come up at to breathe is what they see. And they didn't see somebody in pain seeking answers, even my eye doctor. I said, I had a breakdown when you were working on my eyes. He goes, I just thought you were angry. And then he apologized. He says, sometimes that we get nearsighted. And again, it was like a perfect storm. As the culture changed to me, the psych terms, let's look at our trauma. Let's look at this. Let's look at that. It's all your mother's fault. This my daughter's failures in life is because of me. And I mean, I when I asked my family, what did I do? I was told I got angry. I left an angry message, and I cussed. And I ask, since I've healed, I've talked to 3 people from my past, 2 relatives, and said, can I tell you my story? No, I don't need to know your story. I don't want to know your story. They have made up a narrative of who I am and why I behaved the way I did in my absence. And it's really hard to go back and change. And during the pandemic, when everybody was alone and we're all home, and that I was grateful that other people could understand what isolation was like, because that's what had been done to me. The only person I saw was my husband. I couldn't have loud noises. I couldn't open the windows. The allergic reactions were so horrible. I had got desensitization shots to help me. And then again, as I started healing, I started with physical therapy, because when you lay in bed for that long, you can't do anything. I had to learn how to walk upstairs. But since I'm basically healthy, the healing process was quick. So I just need to work on my core. I did 2 rounds of core therapy at physical therapy. And then a year after I stopped, I joined yoga. I was so embarrassed because I fell down in most of the poses. And I've been there for 1.5 years now. I've made friends. I didn't know anybody. The first time I went there, I cried through the whole thing. I was terrified. And then we live by a lake that's a mile around it. And I started to walk, and I walk 1/4 mile listening to a book, audio book, and I come back. And the first time I made it all the way around, I was so happy and I was challenged. So I'm in yoga, and all of a sudden I can't get up off the floor. I got extreme vertigo from moving around again. So I had to go to physical therapy for vertigo, and that helped. And since then, I have regular sleep patterns. My bowels are regular. I don't have to pee every 30 minutes. Everywhere I went, I had to know where the bathroom was. For years, it's not that way anymore. All the diagnosis, all the problems are gone. The pain is gone. I'm sure I have pain, you know, but it's normal pain. You know, it's normal aging pain now.
That's quite a story. And so I think, I mean, one, it's incredible that, you know, all of these medical conditions that you suffered with for so many years somehow just resolved when you came off the medications. But talk to me about your personality. What did you notice about how you changed as a person off medications? What do you notice about how you feel emotionally now compared to during your time on Valium?
Well, I think that part of the time I didn't know who I was. I remember, I think it was probably about 6 months after I stopped, that I looked in the mirror and I could say, wow, I can see myself again. I've changed, but I can see myself again. I'm heavier. But the little girl is alive and back again. I've always had this little girl joy. I collect dolls. And I think everybody needs to play dress up and everybody needs to play. And I couldn't do anything for so long, but so when I gradually got back, to play, that was really good. And again, just recently in the last 6 months, I've looked in the mirror and I can see myself, but I see myself the way I actually am physically. For the longest time, I couldn't even see myself physically or, you know, I couldn't see the picture in the mirror. And so first it was that I'm back. And then it was like, okay, this is the physical changes, but it was a progression. Mm-hmm. But when I was like, what did I do? I played solitaire. Solitaire has to be, the Microsoft, daily challenges because you play five different kinds of solitaire. So for each one, you have different rules. So you have to change your mind thoughts. So it helped improve my memory. Stress against playing against the clock or winning a game. Stress. So I learned how to deal with stressors again by playing solitaire. And I did a lot of internet shopping.
And what effect did coming off medications have on your relationship with your husband?
I'm grateful that he stayed because it didn't kick me out. I have heard of people that their spouses have divorced them and kicked them out. He's a kind human being. And I watched the movie as prescribed. And God, it left such a profound feeling on me that I got down on my hands and knees and cried for 10 minutes because somebody finally knew how I felt. Somebody put it out there that they knew that how I felt was real. And he watched it later and he cried. He said, why are you crying? He says, I knew it was real, but he didn't know how real. He didn't know how real it was. So he was very understanding and he was working, but it's taken a toll on him now that I'm better. It's like he can relax and he has to deal with his issues around me, from guilt, not knowing what to do, wanting me to always be happy. And I have two really good friends that stayed with me. And one that passed during COVID that they would reach out once a week or once a month to talk. But other than that, nothing.
So Kath, tell just so people kind of know what the other side of this looks like. What does your life look like now? What do you love to do? Tell us about where you are at the moment.
What do I love to do? I love to help people online. That's why I took the peer benzo certification. I want to help other people. I want to figure out how to do that. I love my yoga. I go to yoga twice a week. I have goals. I'm trying to swim more, exercise. I have made friends. I love inviting people over for dinner. I adopt stray humans. I've adopted a person without a home and it's changed other people's opinion of homelessness. I cook dinner. I like to have people come over and share my space. I don't know if I can say it, cannabis is legal in California and We have bonded. I live in a 55 and over park, and we have bonded over sharing edibles with different people in the park. Okay, you know,
cool. Yeah.
I was terrified because I've never been that kind of person before, and I didn't want to have another problem. So I'm really sparing when I do it, but it having a pot cookie when you're getting rumination is the best solution. Sit down and watch a movie because you laugh at everything and you don't remember anything, so you can't be depressed. So, and then you go to sleep. But I had to be really careful before I added anything like that to my life because I did not want another problem. Even drinking, I didn't like drinking. You know, I might have a drink occasionally, but no, I wanted to make sure my nervous system and my mind healed.
And so that's amazing. Kath, what haven't we covered that you really want to share with the audience about? I think your story is great for two reasons. One, it's just how the drugs affected you physically and emotionally while you're on them, but also protracted withdrawal. What haven't we covered that's a message that you want to talk about?
Changing your focus to anything else while you're healing is best. I know that people want to find solutions to what they're doing. Once you accept and gone through all of your tests, accepting that it is a journey of benzos that you have to heal from and do anything else, paint, you know, and you will survive. I want everybody to know that it will get better. Let go of fear. Fear is the enemy. Fear in our society now is everywhere. I chant. I let go of fear. I release all fear. And I've tried Louise Hay's book where affirmations helped. One of the biggest things is I want, you know, as we are healing society about benzos, when you go into the doctor's office, you have a fill out a depression form every time you go in. Are you depressed? How long? Are you suicidal? It's just a standard form. Well, I would like to see a standard form in the ER and in neurosurgeons or neurologists and GPs to say, what medications have you stopped and how long ago? And be aware that just because you've been off of it for 2 months doesn't mean you're better. I've seen people get diagnosed with Lyme disease, MS, stiff person disease, mental health issues. And if there's just a basic form to bring awareness for a conversation, I would like to do a talk about benzos for nurse practitioners or medical assistants to bring awareness to what you see is not what was really there. There's nothing there. I mean, I look perfectly fine. I'm not lazy. I can't move. I don't know what to tell you. And I'm figuring it out myself. And be patient. Be patient with yourself. The Gifts of Imperfection by Brené Brown is fabulous. Good Morning, I Love You by Shauna Shapiro is a great book that helps deal with neuroplasticity and what is that? Mindfulness. I mean, these are all new words, but they have different meanings. And stay away from labels. If somebody says you're bipolar or you're this or you're that, no, you're a human being first. And these are symptoms that will change.
Thank you. You've given me a lot of good book recommendations in there as well, as you've been doing it, which is great. So, well, Kath, thank you so much for jumping on and sharing a recovery story. It means a huge amount to the people who are kind of in the trenches at the moment, just so that they know what they have to look forward to when this all ends, because it will. It's an inevitability.
Yeah. One more thing is like, don't give up, because you never know what's around the corner. You never know what's around the corner. The end of your pain may not be the end of it. Stay in there. We know that you're going to heal. You know, you're going to get better.
Okay. So, Kath, thank you so much for coming on. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you want to see the full video interview, we also post these to YouTube. Just go to Wittering Psychiatry on YouTube to find those. You'll also find several YouTube exclusive videos from Drs. Yosef and Marissa posted several times a week. Finally, if you need help with your drug taper, getting a second opinion, or managing your post-acute withdrawal, come visit us at withduringpsychiatry.com. Our sole focus is on helping patients regain control of their lives and achieve optimal mental health on as little medications as possible.